Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Raina Troy Hotline.
Alicia, Michael, what's going on?
We know you have takes. We have takes.
I'm actually surprised that your rant line, rave line, whatever, isn't completely full.
Why can't we just win a game?
Can I blame Michael Castillo for this?
Can I blame Bob Connolly for this?
Could I put on a zebra shirt and just go out there?
Scratch, claw, up against the wall.
Can't explain that what I'm feeling right now, guys.
I can't believe it.
Let's open up that rave line! Woohoo!
Oh, I can't believe USD has hired Lincoln Riley. Oh, yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rated for Radio, episode 437. Coming to you here on Monday, August 15th. I'm your host, Mike Castillo, joined along with my co-host, Elisa Daratola.
Hello, everybody.
And yeah, this is another live episode of Reign of Troy Radio. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Reign of Troy, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Reign of Troy. Be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, wherever you can find a podcast. We are there. Our email address is reignoftroy@fansite.com, and our phone number is 213-373-1USC. Second What's Brewing Show. As always, we are here. Live on the YouTube, Monday night, 5 p.m. Pacific. Big shout out to everyone joining here live. We got Alex, Poncho Cam, Tim, Bill, Dardar2307. We got people in the chat. Thanks for listening, as always. Alicia, what's up? How's it going?
No, I mean, it's going well. It's the middle of August. Fall camp is in full swing. It's hot out, and I am ready for football season to start. I mean, like, we've reached the phase of the offseason where the AP poll is dropped. So it's just, it's creeping up. We're weeks away, and we're very close to being able to say week away from football. And that is exciting.
Yeah, we're halfway through the F1 summer break, which I've sort of looked at as, when F1 comes back on the last weekend of August, that is the sign that college football is here, because once F1 ends, then it becomes game week for SC going into the Rice game. So we're 2 weeks away. 2 weeks away from a game week as we would get ready for SC and Rice coming up in a couple weeks.
I am excited for some Rice, not going to lie.
Yeah, in more ways than one. We got some new reviews over on Apple Podcasts. As always, you can review us over there. Give us 5 stars. We'll be your best friend forever. Alicia, you want to read those?
Yeah, we got a new one from Fight On Pastor, which was 5 stars. and it's titled Awesome USC Football Podcast. Michael and Alicia give you all you want to know about USC football in an entertaining and engaging podcast. And that's from Fight On Pastor. So thank you so much.
Yeah,
it's Pastor. Awesome. Very, very nice to hear. And then five stars from Pensacola 59. That the title is just podcast in all caps, enthusiasm, and it's just three thumbs up emojis. So, hey, any five-star review that we get, even if it's just emojis, I mean, it gets the point across. Three thumbs up, better than two thumbs up. I'm here for it. Let's take it. Yeah. Five stars, three thumbs up, all about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely am excited for any of those. It helps support the show, helps grow the show over on Apple Podcasts. And if you're listening to us right now on YouTube, be sure to subscribe. Hit the notification bell for all new live streams, all new episodes here on YouTube. And be sure to like the stream, subscribe, all of that kind of fun stuff. And some podcast news here as we go forward. Next week's show is going to be on Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific. We're pushing back one day because, Alicia, you and I are going out of town this upcoming weekend, a long weekend. We're going to Texas to get us some Texas barbecue. We were sad that SC is no longer going to play in the state of Texas because, you know, not like the Big Ten has a bunch of bowl game tie-ins in Texas. SC's going to the Big Ten, not the Big 12. We got to go and say goodbye to all of our Texas barbecue places.
And there are several of them where we're going, and I'm very, very excited to see them. It's going to be a nice little trip before the season starts and things start to get real crazy and we don't get any downtime ever. So, yeah, we will be delayed just one day. It won't be that long. We will still have an episode up and it'll be sort of a normal episode. And that'll kind of like be our last regular episode before we start doing multiple shows a week because we're doing previews and
yep,
all of that. So yeah, get it while you can and then get more in just a little while.
Yeah. So looking forward, next week we're looking to have a couple of friends of the episode of the podcast on an episode as we preview things going forward. It probably won't be a video episode, so look for that over on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and wherever you can find your podcasts. Next week, probably towards the end of next week. And then 2 weeks from now, it'll be game week. And you know what that means? It means Monday will be a season predictions episode. Wednesday, the Wednesday night before week one, game one, Rice will be the first ever game preview here live on YouTube as we get forward to the first game preview episode of the Lincoln Riley era here on Rancho Radio.
Just think about it. We're going to have live over-unders.
This is true. Everyone jumping in the chat to let us know what they think.
Yeah.
But I think the best part of, you know, recording live now, live carcass.
That's going to be fun. That's going to be chaotic, but that's going to be fun.
It is going to be wild. So I think we're going to do those after games, Saturday nights, right after games. I think it's going to sort of, you know, We've talked about it off air. This is going to be the first year since 1992 that I won't be going to SC home games.
Yeah.
Which is, that's 30 years. Alicia, that's 30 years.
Yeah.
First time in 30 years I won't be going to SC home games because we are going to stay in the studio and watch the games from home. So that way as soon as the games are over, we can go live and put on a car cast for you guys, which I think will sort of channel the true nature of what the car casts are supposed to be. Because the idea of the car cast, if you're new to the show, is that it's the conversation that you have in the car driving home from the game with whoever you went to the game with. It's the conversation I would have with my dad growing up. It's the conversation I would have with you after going to a game. The conversation that you have with your buddies and your friends and family outside the Coliseum after a game. And I think we're really going to be able to channel that when we go live because people will be able to tune in on their phones as they drive home from the game, they'll be able to listen to us. How cool is that?
It's very, very cool. I'm very excited about it. Like you, I am. It's a bittersweet because I do love going to games, but at the same time, this element of opening up the sort of podcasting to immediate reaction, especially live on the video, is going to be really, really fun, and it should be a fun season to do it in. So I'm here for it.
Why is there something new?
There might be a little something new. Some inside baseball. I'm writing the preview on FanSided, my day job. We're doing like college football previews for each team. So I've been writing, you know, Baylor and Kansas State and Air Force and blah, blah, blah. And I'm now doing the USC one. And like, I had to do like the, what happened to USC in 2021 thing. And it was just like 2021, that season was less than a year ago, but it feels like it was a decade ago. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's like the whole shebang. So much has changed since then. So much has changed since the last time we car casted. It's exciting times, man.
Yeah. Everything is that was up is down. Black is white. Blue is cardinal. What's the opposite of blue? Well,
red.
I mean,
on a color wheel,
color theory, it's orange.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, Alicia, there's a bunch of news to get into.
Hey everyone, it's Mike Silva from Talkin' Mets. I am always about helping my listeners, and today I want to help you eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. My wife and I tried it, and we love it. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. I was tired after a long day the other night, and I was at the table eating a delicious meal just minutes after walking in the door. Are you looking for a gourmet meal? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccoli, and asparagus. You can also choose from a weekly menu of 35 options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Don't forget your add-ons. There are 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? The Mets set the playoffs as their goal this year. Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals with Factor. Head to factormeals.com/Mets50 and use code Mets50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code Mets50 at factormeals.com/Mets50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. I tried Factor and loved it. Why don't you?
Alicia, you know the only good thing about football season being over?
There's literally nothing good about the football season being over. It's just an endless wait until the fall.
See, that's where you're wrong. It's tournament season. The best way to take your mind off the endless wait.
That is true. I may not want to watch the men play, but the USC women are pretty awesome.
Exactly, but it's not just SC. There's high-stake basketball moments all over the country. But you know what? They get even better with Prize Picks.
So you're saying the only thing better than watching Juju Watkins is taking the more on Juju Watkins.
Bingo. You can now turn your hoops knowledge and love of Juju Watkins into serious cash. Because you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Turn $10 into $1,000 with college basketball, NBA, and NHL entries. Best of all, Prize Picks lets you get on the action on more than 30 states across the country, including Texas, Georgia, and California.
That sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, download the app today. Use the code RANOFTROY for a first deposit match up to $100.
That's the Prize Picks app with the code RANOFTROY for the first deposit match up to $100.
Pick more.
Pick less.
It's that easy.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Latest poll to come out, the latest preseason poll, it is the Associated Press, the poll for me. This is the poll that I care about more than anything, the AP poll. Maybe not the preseason poll, but the AP poll in general. The Trojans are 14th. Alabama's number one. Ohio State and Georgia received first place votes. Notre Dame at 5. Utah 7. Oregon 11. Fresno State received 32 votes. 30 more than UCLA, who only got 2. But SC at number 14.
Yeah, and I'm comfortable with that where USC is starting this season. It feels safe. I don't know. I think it's a reflection of no one quite knows what this team, they're too good to not be in this spot, but there are also too many question marks to have them higher. So I think it's a good spot to be in. Plenty of room to move up, but not top 10 expectations already before they're really earned. I put this on Twitter after the poll came out because people were talking a 4-8 USC team is a top 15 team. Like, how do people feel about that? And what I sort of reflected on was, yes, 4-8 and the roster turnover and everything like that is exactly why I've been telling people to pump the brakes on the loftier expectations of the season, the college football playoff stuff, all of that. But at the same time, that 4-8 was a weird 4-8. The head coach got fired after week 2. It was an interim head coach who was very inexperienced. There were injuries. It was just a weird, weird, weird 4-8 season. Like, we don't know what that season would have looked like without the coaching change. It was just the way it all went down. I don't even know what that 4-8 number tells us. Plus, you hired a legitimate coach. You got a Heisman candidate quarterback. You got the Biletnikoff winner. You got the top returning total offense guy in Travis Dye from the Pac-12. You added a bunch of new pieces and retooled the roster. So just based on those additions, the top 15 nod makes sense. I mean, USC's gotten top 15 nods without this many top tier talents at the top of the roster. So there are extenuating circumstances. Sure, it's a weird, we keep saying this, unprecedented what USC is trying to do this year, but 14, not too high, not too low. I feel a little bit like Goldilocks with it. It's just right.
Yeah. We talked about it last week with the coaches poll. 14, 15 sounds about right, given the hype and excitement going into the season. But this team is an unknown, and they shouldn't have necessarily top 10 expectations because there's so much unknown. But yeah, when you do have the Biletnikoff winner, a quarterback like Caleb Williams, a situation where Lincoln Riley is now your head coach and all that stuff, I get it. Plus, we talked about it before. Think about all the seasons with Clay Helton. Even with Clay Helton, we said that those teams should have been 9-3 type seasons, mm-hmm. right? Despite the coaching staff. And so I think it makes sense to have sort of those same similar expectations for year one, but more than anything, have a ranking that sort of falls in line with that. So yeah, I think if it was me, I'd probably put SC at 20, just because so many things are new, like I mentioned last week with the coaches poll. But it's a good starting point nonetheless.
The problem with moving USC down is you have to look at the teams that are in and around them.
It's three-dimensional, right?
Everyone outside the top 8 is extremely flawed. So it's
And it's always going to be that way.
Yeah, shake them all up and have no idea. The rankings that I'm looking at that I'm I think Baylor's being done dirty by getting put behind Oklahoma in a lot of polls I've seen, I think there's some interesting dynamics with Oregon that maybe they're being overrated here at number 11. But when it comes down to it, everybody is in the muck once you get out. Practically, if you're not Alabama, Ohio State, or Georgia, who the hell knows? So, you know, it's all crapshoot. Even my preseason polls are ridiculous.
Clemson last year, we feel like we know what Clemson is, and the last year was sort of a down year for them, and they still won, what, 10 games or whatever?
And they're number four this season. Yeah. So
you never know. Let's talk about the Sunday league, the less entertaining kind of football, the NFL, and go through a little roundup here. Drake London injured his knee in a preseason game, but it's not a long-term injury, which is good news. Tyler Vaughn's got the game-winning touchdown for the Steelers. That's super cool. And Drake Jackson is receiving rave reviews so far with the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, a bit of a scary moment there for Drake London. His first catch in the preseason game was 24 yards, and then he hurt his knee, and it was like, ugh. But he should be fine to start the season, so I'm looking forward to see what he can do in the NFL. I'm very confident in him in the NFL if he stays healthy. It was really cool seeing Tyler Vaughn. Tyler Vaughn's is competing for a roster spot. Like, he's scratching and clawing for a roster spot. So him making – and it was a classic Tyler Vaughn's, too. It was one of those routes out on the sideline where he just makes a move, catches it, and makes the defender miss, and shakes him down and gets to the end zone. Just classic Tyler Vaughn's. Great to see.
I got a Tyler Vaughn's take. Besides the classic Tyler Vaughn's take is it's incredible how he makes the most miraculous catches, despite maybe struggling to catch the obvious easy ones, right? Like, and it's mesmerizing how he could make so many highlight reel catches, right? For me, my new take about Tyler Vaughn's is he the best SC receiver to ever run an out route? Like, outs and curls. Like, I mean, not that I want to actually, like, rank this thing, but he was so good at that route. Like, just running a little out, maybe a little in, a little curl. Like, those 10-yard routes, that's where he was just mega on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then that's exactly what this, from my memory of the highlight.
Once you said it, it was a Tyler Vaughn's, I could picture.
Yeah, you know it exactly. If you haven't seen the highlight, you know just by me telling you that it was peak Tyler Vaughn's. So yeah, I'm hopeful that he'll be able to scratch out a career here with the Steelers. They're giving him a shot, and they need receivers, so we'll see what he does.
Yeah,
good start. And then Drake Jackson, of course, another guy at USC that just look at going like, did USC waste that talent? And the answer is probably yes. He's tearing it up with the 49ers. Typical, because he's a talented dude. We knew that all along, and USC couldn't get the best out of him. And got to enjoy him in the NFL now.
I mean, the 49ers have him and
Talano Hufanga.
Hufanga, yeah.
Yeah.
So sort of the banner carriers for USC's defense the last couple of years. In terms of talent, SC maybe didn't take the most advantage of.
Dudes that if you took them and put them on a better USC defense would have been exponentially better themselves.
Yes.
For sure. Well, now they're getting a chance in better 100%. Defenses.
Other news to get to before we start talking about fall camp. There's some more insights on Lincoln Riley's Oklahoma departure. Alicia, take this one. This is an interesting development that came out this week.
Yeah, so Trojans Wired has a podcast series that they're calling the Riley Files. It's basically just going through Lincoln Riley's sort of career, coming through how the breakup with Oklahoma happened, all that kind of stuff. So they had Oklahoma insider Keegan Renault. Are we saying Renault?
Yeah, I would say Renault.
Yeah. Keegan Renault was talking about what motivated Lincoln Riley to leave Oklahoma. And that's really the big, you know, he's getting called a snake, he's getting called Tebow, all that kind of stuff. Oklahoma fans really don't want to listen to reason when it comes to why Lincoln Riley might have wanted to come to USC. USC fans just have to point outside to the weather and the beaches and the, you know, Los Angeles, and it pretty much makes a lot of sense. But I thought it was really interesting the way that Renault laid it out, which was basically that he was frustrated because Oklahoma wasn't falling over themselves to give him facilities, to give him upgrades that he needed in terms of staff. Basically, the arms race in college football that we always talked about USC being behind on, they were not as behind on it as USC, obviously, but they weren't really invested or didn't seem to be willing to invest the way that Lincoln Riley felt like he needed them to in order for him to succeed at Oklahoma. And so I think it's interesting that, and this is the quote that I highlighted. The perspective of Lincoln Riley is going unnoticed because to me, it tells me that Oklahoma failed in giving Lincoln the confidence that they had the resources and all the things we've talked about with Brett Venables and donors and boosters. So basically what it came down to is USC went to Lincoln Riley and gave him a hell of a pitch, which was, we're going to give you everything you want, literally everything you want. You can come to Los Angeles and you don't have to worry about recruiting because the recruiting base is already there. And we're going to give you new facilities and we're going to give you as much staff as you want. And we're going to go all in. And the fact that USC was willing to go all in the way that they made their pitch clearly struck a tone, struck a chord with Lincoln Riley to the point where he was willing to give up what he had already established at Oklahoma and to sort of pull the plug over there. And they've since turned around and given Brett Venables a lot of the things that, you know, that Lincoln Riley would have been asking for. But it seems like the power struggle, sort of the internal power struggle and the feeling of, you know, how supported am I was the thing that I think this podcast appearance was sort of getting at. And so the thing that I'm now very curious about is, what does that tell us about Lincoln Riley coming to USC, knowing that he has that kind of support, knowing that he has all of the resources that he's going to want? He's going to do it his way too, because USC is just going to, you know, give him the keys to the car and let him drive. So we're going to see the real Lincoln Riley at this point. Like, we're going to see him be, you know, I think he grew up quite a bit taking over Oklahoma from Bob Stoops. That's an incredibly hard thing to do, to fill those shoes and to keep things going as successfully as he did. Now he's striking out on his own. And I think this is a really huge opportunity for Lincoln Riley to sort of prove himself. And I kind of like the idea that Lincoln Riley isn't coming to USC. He's way more proven than any coach USC's hired in ever.
Right.
But I think there might also be like a chip on his shoulder in the sense of, he still needs to prove like he can be his own man and he can build his own program and sort of do all that kind of stuff. So I think it just sort of, I don't know. I found it really interesting. It's a good listen if you guys want to go check out the Trojans Wired podcast to get that perspective.
I think if you're Lincoln Riley, you're always going to find a chip on your shoulder, a motivational factor, right? Like, that's what these coaches are. Like, we've talked
about
why
they don't retire. Like,
it's why they don't retire. It's also why coaches tend to find the rub in anything, right? Like, anything can be a motivational tool. You look at Dabo Swinney from Clemson, and anything you say is going to be something that he's going to use as motivation for his team, right? Because that's how the coaches are wired. They want that chip on their shoulder. They want to find motivation in literally anything. So I think that he was always going to come to California and want to, you know, to make his mark and all that stuff. But I do think it's the interesting thing of Oklahoma, you know, not wanting to be set in their ways and not wanting to, you know, deviate from what they do until they have to go find a coach and then figure out that, oh, we do need to deviate in our ways to go find our next coach, which is going to be Venables. And SC is sort of was in the same boat, mind you, in completely different ways, because Mike Bone had to come in and really put in a foundation for what was going to be the foundation that Clay Helton needed, the structure that Clay Helton needed, all the investments into the support staff, into anything around the team that needed aid, that so that way your coach just wasn't left out to dry, especially a coach like Clay Helton, who wasn't prepared to be a head coach, right? Like, not only did he get hired by Pat Hayden, but like, Pat Hayden wasn't prepared to be an AD. No. And so you just add on to these things, and SC not only has built up the foundation and now goes and gets Lincoln Riley to replace him in a way that Clay Helton didn't have, like, give him a foundation that Clay Helton didn't have originally. And now Oklahoma is giving Venables the keys to the car that they didn't have to give Lincoln Riley. Like, this is what college football is. It's this constant game of having to improve yourself in order to get recruits, in order to get coaches. We're seeing it with NIL in terms of recruiting. And when it comes to coaches, it's this stuff on steroids, because that's where everything begins and ends, especially at the highest level. And a coach like Lincoln Riley, who I think that we would say is the biggest coach SC has brought in since 1924.
Yeah, since Howard Jones.
Since they brought in Howard Jones, for right? Sure. Like, you know, looking back, SC, the most recent hire with any sort of resume was probably Larry Smith. But Larry Smith wasn't Howard Jones. Larry Smith wasn't Lincoln Riley. You know what I mean? Like,
well, and that's what I loved about the hire, right? Is people wanted USC to nix Helton earlier, and I would have been in support of that too. But at the same time, like, if they had done it earlier and not set up this platform upon which they could actually go big game hunting and get someone like Lincoln Riley, you probably end up with a Larry Smith type where it's like, right, they're good, but they're not like the best. So the whole process, I think, is encouraging. And I think there's also just a sense of the buzzword that Lincoln Riley used when he came to USC, it was alignment. It just feels like the stars aligned to make this move happen, and Oklahoma fans will still be bitter about it, but it just feels like the timing worked, the way it all happened was destined, preordained.
Yeah, it all worked. It was kinsmit karma. Yeah. Although I don't want to say karma. Karma is a loaded term, but it was kinsmit. Everything came
kismet.
Together. Kismet.
Yeah.
I say kinsmit.
You said kinsmit. Yeah.
Kismet.
Yeah.
Close enough.
It doesn't matter.
Let's talk about fall camp and not rehash the off season.
Yeah.
Alicia, everything has been going down in fall camp. We've talked about this before. We're unfortunately unable to be there. But on top of that, it's even if we were there, we wouldn't be able to see team action, because fall camp is more guarded this year under Lincoln Riley, just like it sort of was under Clay Helton last year too. But let's run through these news nuggets. Jude Wolf has a foot injury. The tight end will miss the start of the season. You're a big tight end fan. What's this mean?
It's one less available tight end. My money's on Malcolm Epps being the guy, or Lake McCree being the guy. I think it would have been really fun if Jude Wolf had come through and established himself as the guy. But, you know, with USC's tight ends, it's just been a lot of like, maybe he's the guy. And then it's just like the same old story for all of them. So it's a bummer, but USC's tight end situation was always going to be somebody's going to have to step up and take over this role. And if it wasn't going to be Jude Wolf, it was going to be someone else. So we'll see which one takes that shot.
Yeah, I really want to see what this means for McCree. I thought McCree was great last season towards the end.
I enjoyed watching him, yeah.
I just looked up his stats. 7 catches for 91 yards. I feel like all 7 of those catches were good.
Yes, every time.
I feel like there was a highlight reel for him.
Dude, every time.
It was only 7 catches.
Every time he caught the ball, it was like, yeah. Not like one of those, just get the ball to the tight end because that's what the play calls for, and it's going to be a 2-yard gain kind of thing. No, it's Lake McCree was flashing.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with the tight ends there. Definitely a lot of opportunity for Epps and for McCree and for Josh Follow, who's back for his 19th season at Troy. In the receiving core, C.J. Williams has been standing out. He's been reliable after missing spring and could be getting a serious shot here in the wide receiver rotation.
Yeah, the wide receiver rotation is going to be fascinating because you obviously have Jordan Addison, you have Gary Bryant Jr. and Kyle Ford, you have the newcomers like Brendan Rice and Mario Williams and Terrell Bynum. And so like guys like CJ Williams, talented sort of freshmen that come in, like he could just get buried at the bottom of the depth chart and just not see time and take a red shirt. And we'll talk about him, you know, a year or two down the line. But also, like, if there's any position on the team where a freshman could just shoot up the pecking order, it's wide receiver. So CJ Williams seems to have obviously missed his chance to break out in spring. He's apparently impressing people in fall camp. So we'll see what he can do. I mean, it's a weird rotation. I don't know how it's gonna shake out.
It's fascinating because SC has an obvious number one in Addison, and then after then you have like five dudes who could be the number two.
Yeah.
Like it could be Gary Bryant Jr. It could be Brendan Rice. It could be Mario Williams. It could be Taj Washington. Don't forget Taj Washington was
Taj Washington.
Good last year, right? Yeah. Like it could be Terrell Bynum. Like there's a bunch of dudes there. My only hope for the receiving core is that just at one point, I want to see four wide with Gary Bryant Jr., Brendan Rice, Jordan Addison, and Mario Williams. Stretch out four wide, number one, number two, number three, and number four, all together.
That would be fun. We'll keep an eye out for that one.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
Just give me that. And potentially you can have number zero out there, Terrell Bynum, as well.
Yeah.
But the number zero on the other side of the ball might not be out there immediately. That is Corey Foreman. He is going to be out for a couple of days. Expect him back in the next few days, was the quote from Lincoln Riley. That was on the 12th. Alicia, should we be start to get concerned about Corey Foreman?
I can't even like say I'm not concerned about Corey Foreman. It's just like it just one thing after another. With he dealt with injuries in spring, he's dealing with injuries now. Like a lot of these things are beyond your control. So I'm not blaming him, but at the same time, I have lived enough life to have gone through seasons of Daniel Sturridge being amazing, but also being the most injury-prone player in the world.
Legend Daniel Sturridge.
We all know those players who just, I mean, Josh Fallows one of them. Like, I'll believe that he can contribute when I see it because he's just, his body just has let him down. And you know what? Our bodies let us down and it happens and it sucks. It's bad luck. Talk to Chris Sale. In the baseball realm, like sometimes it just you have the worst luck in the world, but that means that like at a certain point you have to stop relying on somebody who is constantly just not available. It just sucks because I want to see him play. It's just like I'm almost at a point where okay, full speed ahead with Romello Height, and what we get from Corey Foreman is a cherry on top. Maybe it's too early to say that, but
I think it's way too early to say that. I don't think that it would be bad for your mental health to be like, I am just going to go all in mentally on Height and Bird and all these other dudes off the edge, et cetera, and just see what happens. Nick Figueroa, and just see what happens when it's back in there and everything will be a bonus. At the same time, I understand that, but this is not the song. Tulia Pooh situation.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
I'm not saying we're there yet. I'm not saying
I don't
that.
Think we're remotely close.
But at the same time, it's just like if I had just given up on Solomon Tulia Pooh years ago, I would just been a happier person. So, hey, he's out there. He's converted to defensive end. Like he's
maybe
working.
Maybe he. Can you imagine if that was the thing? Like it, they just like swap. Medical history, like obviously you want everyone to be healthy, but like it would be fascinating if like the year that Solomon Tulia Pooh gets everything healthy and gets on the field, like how unlucky would it be that means that somebody else gets the unfortunate stuff?
Balance is a thing, you know. I don't know if that's exactly how injury and energy transfers.
That's not what Clay Helton was talking about.
He wanted balance,
by the way.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the defense. A couple of quotes from Lincoln Riley. We had, quote, major depth issues in the spring, and this is a lot different now, and the talent level is up. I think those things were going to be a obvious factor this fall, considering a bunch of guys not only missed spring, but there was a mass exodus after the season. And then in addition to that, you had all the guys in the transfer portal who were incoming that weren't able to make the spring. They're mostly all here now. So, yeah, it makes sense that the defense would be had the most to gain in fall. And it's good to see that they're actually sort of doing that.
Yeah, I mean, this is the question, though, right? It's the defense needs to get their depth in order and to get their lineup together and to be ready to go this season if USC wants to avoid the week two loss that I know we are predicting to Stanford. Like, if USC wants to avoid losing to Stanford, because that's just how football in Los Angeles goes, then this defense needs to come together and get going. And it was unfortunate that the defense didn't have the opportunity to really do that in spring because of all the injury problems. So at least now they're starting to get to a point where they can feel confident in the lineup that they have and the depth that they're building. But they're still piecing together a lot of things. And that this is where my primary anxiety about the season comes from is, you know, the talent level can be up, but also defense is a lot about chemistry and trust. Mm-hmm. And being able to trust that the guy next to you is going to have his assignment down, and also that you're both on the same page about what each of you are going to be doing, who you're going to be covering, all that kind of stuff. And that takes time to build, and time is limited here. So this is going to be the thing to watch as we start the season.
Yeah, 100%. I've said it before. It's going to be fascinating to me what this defense ends up being. I think the offense being ahead of the defense on paper, because the roster has much more familiarity than the defense does. Plus, so many guys on the offensive line are back. For instance, you have a quarterback that's familiar with Lincoln Riley, etc. And then you add in the fact that this defense is in a new system with a bunch of dudes, a bunch of guys who left after last season, a bar that is completely nowhere and super low for them to compete against based on how bad last year was. And it makes this season a big one for the defense to come out and win. It's just going to be a matter of by how much do they cross that bar? I have to imagine they crossed the bar of last year's defense just based on how bad it was. But where? I don't know. How close to last year is it going to be? How close to optimal is it going to be? I don't know. I think that's the big question to keep an eye on. And then a big portion of that is what's going to go down in the secondary. And lots of notes here in the secondary. And Riley is super impressed with Sierre Wright, compared him his acting to guys playing baseball, and said he's made improvements since spring, so it's not taken away from football. So that's a good thing. Russell Wilson played baseball, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's really just about like dealing with a guy who his only interest isn't just football. Like, he's got interests outside of football. And, you know, if so long as Sierre Wright can get to the field, know his stuff, know his playbook, be putting in work in the weight room. And apparently he's put in some good work in the weight room because he's up in weight and he's sort of building that muscle and stuff like that, then it's all good, right? So it's good to hear. I'm very curious if he will be able to contribute this year, because that cornerback group is the mirror to me of the wide receiver group, in that you've got Mekhi Blackmon, who's the big transfer in, and then there's like four guys who could be the number two.
I mean, you want it to be Damani Jackson, right? Like,
I mean, if
he was the big five-star recruit.
It would be fun if it was Damani Jackson. It would, you know, Jacoby Covington. That's one of the other things that we have here on the notes is that he has had a good start to spring camp. Lincoln Riley called him to fall camp. Lincoln Riley shouted him out unprovoked, which is always the thing that I'm looking for when I listen to these interviews is, you know, if guys are asking questions about it, if reporters are asking questions to a coach, you'll usually hear something good. I pay extra attention when a coach brings up somebody by name without it being prompted. So yeah. I definitely sat up and listened when he talked about Jacoby Covington, but, you know, Joshua Jackson's there. Sierre Wright is there. It's a mix of guys that I'm just not certain who will be the one that steps up. So that'll be fun to get to see them sort of compete through this fall and create a pecking order as well. But it's also hard to tell because so much of it is, you know, up in the air.
Yeah, 100%. So we'll see how far Fall camp continues to develop for SC going forward. A couple more weeks of that, and then we'll be ready for game week leading into the Rice game, which I thought earlier. Crazy to think that that's 2 weeks away that we'll be heading into game week. Before we get to the mailbag, and as always, you can hit us with your mailbag questions here in the chat on YouTube. Just type in the word question. Thanks to everyone who's been doing that already. We'll jump into those here towards the end. Put question in all caps at the beginning so that way we can easily find those and star them and get back to them. But Elise, I want to play a quick game of buy or sell. We're going to do, you know, over on later on this month before the season starts, we're going to make our predictions. We're walk through the roster. But I want to do some buy or sell with you. Tell me, buy or sell USC having a Heisman finalist? What do you got? You're that stumped?
I think it's sell. And it's okay. Really because the Heisman, there are like Heisman guys who I think will be on the big teams this year. So I think like Bryce Young is obviously the front runner. I think Michigan could have, Ohio State could have with their quarterback, whose name I'm forgetting at the moment. But I think the really good like playoff teams have enough guys that will grab the attention to be the finalists that it'll block out. I'm thinking Caleb Williams or Jordan Addison, more likely Caleb Williams, from being in that picture, unless this team is like 11-1, and I don't think this team is going to be 11-1. So that's sort of where I'm at. Like the Heisman so often is you're either putting up ungodly numbers, which maybe Caleb Williams will, but there's a lot of guys out there putting up ungodly numbers at this point. So they'd need to be like ungodly to expect that, unless you're one of the top teams. And I don't expect USC to be a top team. So I'm going to sell that one.
Okay. I am going to say, I guess I have to agree solely because I think this year is going to still be a transition year, even if Caleb Williams is back and Jordan Addison is here. Yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised if one of them is one, if not both of them, is in the, like the top 10 voting in the voting, but
like guest votes, but
yeah,
not
but
a
like
finalist.
Top four or five, whatever the finalist ends up being.
Yeah,
I think it's difficult because I could see one of them in the top six.
Because isn't the finalist? It's you have to receive a certain percentage of the vote, so it's not even just that like. You were like the third most voted. Like yeah. You still have to have a certain percentage of the vote to even like they'll invite only two people. So, I mean, not that I don't think they would, but
right. You know. It's gonna be something to keep an eye on. I think there's absolutely a chance. Let's get to buy or sell. OU's record or USC's record is better than Oklahoma's. This is an easy one for me. What do you got?
I'm going to buy it.
You're buying it?
I'm buying it.
Okay.
I have been very turned off to Oklahoma, so like I will admit I might just be being a hater here, but I think Oklahoma got worse at quarterback. I think they got worse at receiver.
Okay.
I think that they don't have like I think that Brett Venables being a first-time head coach, he's gonna need some time to sort of put his stamp on a team, especially because it's not like Lincoln Riley taking over for Bob Stoops and sort of like continuing what the program is there. Like,
well,
Venables
he is gonna be tasked with continuing it, but it's a little different.
But like it's like a restart almost because there hasn't been like continuity, right? So when I say that USC will have a better record than like Oklahoma, I don't think it's because USC will be going 11-1 or anything like that. Like, I don't think Oklahoma's going to have a great record this year. I think they're going to take a step back in terms of record. So I think Baylor will be good. I think Oklahoma State will be good. I think, you know, I'm doubtful of Texas, but Texas could get Oklahoma here too. Like they almost got last year. So I am not high on Oklahoma, and so I will buy USC's record being better.
I'm selling this strictly because Oklahoma's schedule is cake. They get UTEP, Kent State, at Nebraska. Those are their three out-of-conference games. And in conference, they only have one difficult road game, and that is at Iowa State. Cake. I think Oklahoma will be just fine. They'll be 9-3, 10-2, whatever. I think they'll be like one game, if not equal to what SC does. So
maybe.
That's my take. Okay, buy or sell. Corey Foreman is USC sack leader.
Sell.
Okay.
Again, I just talked about how what Corey Foreman brings will feel like a cherry on top. Like, if this turns out to be true, I will be absolutely happy. But I'd put my money on like Tulu Tupelotu or Armella Hyde or somebody.
All my money is on Nick Figueroa.
Yeah, Nick. I think that's a good pick. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where all my money is. Buy or sell 70,000 attendance as an average for USC at the Coliseum.
Huh.
I think we still want to do the over under on this to set the exact number, but
I'm gonna sell.
I'm gonna sell. I think it'll be close, but not exactly.
Yeah, I'm thinking like 69,000.
That'd be nice.
Be very nice.
All right, last one before we get to the mailbag. SD makes a Pac-12 title game.
Just because of the format change. I think this is a tougher decision than I would have thought before, because you can lose to Utah and still not have it totally sink the season.
Right.
You lose to Utah and Notre Dame.
You can pretend Utah's in the north.
Yeah, essentially.
You know what I mean?
I guess my problem is that I don't trust Utah. I don't trust UCLA.
I don't trust anybody. I don't trust Oregon.
Certainly don't trust anybody else. So, like, I think Utah's in the Pac-12 title game. Would I bet on any other team to be in the title game over USC? I wouldn't. So maybe I'll buy this.
No, I'm in the same boat. I think that's the same thing. I think I buy SC just because,
like, I could see a 9-3 USC team in the Pac-12 title game.
100%.
So yeah.
Yeah. But let's get to the mailbag.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now. Save big money at Menards.
We've got a bunch of questions, people putting question in their comment here on YouTube. If you've just joined us, you can do the same thing as well and join us in the mailbag portion here. Alicia, let's go to a question we got from Josh. Can we play a game? Every time Michael says Clay Helton, we have to take a shot. It's a good way to get the liver warmed up for pregame shots. I don't say Clay Helton that much. I really don't.
I mean, you could get Josh's liver warmed up just by answering this question about Clay Helton.
About Clay Helton? How many times I say Clay Helton? Yeah. I don't think I say Clay Helton that much.
Helton quite a bit, yeah.
To be honest, Clay Helton's not really in my vocabulary anymore to say Clay Helton. So.
See, I think we're going to have reason to say Clay Helton for the next season at least. Like, I know people want to, like, put it to bed and all, but I think we're going to have to be comparing this team to Clay Helton era teams and to the differences and all that kind of stuff. So I think we're going to keep talking about Clay Helton, to be honest.
Yeah. I could see it. Let's go to a question from Scott. Did Lincoln Riley normally issue a depth chart while at OU? Do we still know if when a depth chart will be released? Yes, Oklahoma did release a depth chart at Oklahoma. How real those depth charts are, I think, is the question that I'm still waiting to find out.
There's a depth chart in the game notes for the first week of the season, which says that they released a depth chart before that game.
Yes.
That doesn't tell us much else.
Doesn't tell us how real it was.
Yeah.
It would be a great question to, like, reach out to like an OU insider and
The OU insiders that I've like listened to podcasts or radio interviews with have all talked about Lincoln Riley playing information very close to his chest.
Yes.
So I would not expect a, like, post fall camp depth chart to get put out. I would expect if we do get a depth chart, it'll be included in the game notes for the Rice game, which will come out on Sunday before the game. So that's the earliest I would expect it. That's the way I play.
There's been times, I think last year, if I'm not mistaken, the SC didn't have a game depth chart in there.
Yeah.
They didn't release the depth chart until, like, right before the game. So
yeah,
that could be a thing. I don't know.
But that was Clay Helton sort of trying to shake things up by, like, saying we're not going to release the depth chart until the end of the week of practice. So I don't know. We'll see.
Right. John says, what's wrong with Corey Foreman?
It's not particularly clear. I've been looking it up. I haven't gotten some obvious answers. He's injured.
It's a body injury.
He's at practice. He's just not suited up.
As they would say in hockey, it's usually upper or lower body. And at some point, it just becomes a body injury. Alex says, do the OU fans and admin really appreciate Lincoln Riley? I think they did, because if they didn't, they wouldn't be so... up in arms still.
Yeah, they won't. They won't now. Now they can't possibly appreciate what he did for the program.
Right.
But at the time, like, again, you're if somebody broke up with you and you really didn't like them, like, you wouldn't be so heartbroken without. Sorry for my mic there. You wouldn't be so heartbroken and so, like, just you know, held up on it. So clearly they loved him and they feel betrayed, and you know what? It happens. I'm sorry, Oklahoma.
Yeah, it happens sometimes. Jedi TV says, how many games do you think our backup players are going to play this season, since we never got to see the backups during the Clay Helton era, since every game is so close? Sorry, I said Clay Helton there for you, Josh. I didn't mean to read Clay Helton's name. I don't know. I think that's going to be an interesting question, right? Like, I think you ideally want to see SC blow Rice away in week one. You want to see SC pull away from Stanford in week two, week three, et cetera, and give these opportunities. But I don't know. There's so many moving parts this is an interesting question. It could be one of those. There's so many new faces on SC's team that they need to build chemistry. That either means one of two things. Either there will be a reluctance to bring in new faces because you need to build the chemistry, or the inverse, where they're going to be moving guys in and out regardless of what the score is because they need to build reps and all that stuff and experience for these guys too.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the schedule. Like, games I would like to, that I think it's reasonable to say that USC should be ending up with backups in the game for some, a few drives, a couple drives, hopefully. Rice, Washington State at home, Cal at home, Colorado at home. I'd say at Arizona, but to be quite honest, Jed Fish kind of scares me.
They played a million close games last year. Yeah.
And, I'd love to blow out Fresno State. I think that's possible. They've Jeff Tedford is we haven't seen what his program looks like with him at the top, but.
Here's my take about Fresno State. I don't think Fresno State is blowoutable.
On this schedule.
Maybe that's just me giving them too much credit over the last, 25 years?
So who's blowoutable? Stanford is blowoutable if it's not week two Stanford.
Yes, that's a good point.
Stanford.
Pretend it's November.
Pretend it's not the Pac-12 opener, and maybe then Stanford is, on paper, Stanford's a blowoutable team. That doesn't mean week two Stanford will be blowoutable. Oregon State, I think, is blowoutable. Because their defense is their weakness, and USC.
I don't think you go into that game expecting a blowout.
No. But blowoutable.
ASU blowoutable
because
ASU
is a dumpster fire.
Yes.
A Washington State, tricky team.
Blowoutable.
Not sure, but should be blowoutable certainly at home. Utah, no. Arizona, yes. Again, another team where the defense is the vulnerability. So if you just put up 60 on them, you can blow them out. Cal?
Blowoutable?
Yeah.
Colorado,
blowoutable.
UCLA and Notre Dame, no.
Yeah, I would agree. So I think there are some games here that if things go right, certainly you'll see maybe a handful where USC has a significant backup play.
Blowoutable. A term that should not apply to Taco Bell, by the way. But no. that's a different story. Let's go to next question. Josh says, how much do you think Oregon will miss Travis Dye this season?
I mean, he was their leading offensive player. He led them in total offense. He was their leading receiver and leading running back. So yeah, that's a huge loss. Now, they've obviously recruited well. They have some decent running backs that they can turn to. I don't know that any of them are as reliable as Travis Dye was. So they're gonna miss him, for sure, I think. I think there's no question about that.
Yeah, they got Sean Dollars.
Yeah.
He's shown little flashes. I still can't believe Bo Nix is their quarterback. That continues to be weird.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it goes for the Ducks and Eugene. But yeah, I think absolutely they're going to miss Travis Dye, because if there's anything Travis Dye can do, it's get in the end zone from 2 yards away. That's his sort of bread and butter more than anything. Let's go to a question from Michael Johnson. Is the investment rumor Sooner propaganda to say, actually, we always had donuts? Lincoln Riley was the guy.
We always had doubts that Lincoln Riley.
Why did I say donuts?
Because we're both craving donuts, because you're ready for J's. That's what exactly
This is true. We always had donuts. Amazing. We always had doubts Lincoln Riley was the guy, and AD can't commit to going into the SEC and not invest in football. No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I would hope that they would have donuts, too.
I think it was just about the timing. I think that Lincoln Riley wanted them to be more proactive. They weren't. And then once they got the sort of kick in the butt because things moved quickly, they had to prove that they're willing to invest in football. I think Oklahoma is absolutely willing to invest in football. I don't think it's that. It's the speed with which Oklahoma was willing to make those changes go. And
you know what it also is? It's the same thing that SC had under Mike Garrett. Yes, you won a national championship. that's the Ryan Abraham story about investment, right? Like, you won a national championship, but why should I invest?
If you won a national championship,
won a national championship.
Yeah.
Yeah, you keep going to the playoffs. So why shouldn't we invest anymore? Because you keep going to the playoffs. So why? Clearly, we're doing something right. So we should just keep the status quo.
Yeah.
I think that if you're OU, it's really easy to like buy into that mindset. Whereas this changes things for the Sooners and they forces them to actually go through with it. So it makes sense. Alex says over or under 5,000 transfer portal players next season, 10 transfers to USC next year.
The overall transfer portal players, I'm not even going to take a shot at. I have no idea.
I think last I saw it was like 3,800 or something.
That's what every year there are more. And every year I think eventually the pendulum's going to swing back and people are going to realize that transferring isn't always your best option. Transfers to USC next year, I think that there will be less than 10. Part of that also is contingent on how many guys get moved out, but they did a lot of processing off of this past roster, so I don't think they're going to be as aggressive in the transfer portal because they don't need to be. They've brought in a bunch of dudes. A lot of them have multiple years of eligibility left. Like, they didn't get against a couple of them are one and done guys, but a lot of them at the key positions have multiple years of eligibility. Yeah. And USC is recruiting well enough that they don't want to sort of plug the holes for recruits coming through and progressing into the lineup. So I think they'll be more picky, I think, about who they target. But
yeah,
it all depends on who's available.
Yeah, these things are always hard to guess. I would imagine that the total number ends up going down at some point. I think the COVID season really is still having its effects. I mean, look at guys who are still playing despite...
And Andrew Voorhees and Brett Nealon are still starting.
Josh Follow? Someone who benefits from it too?
Yeah.
Like, that was a free season for everybody. And then you add free transfers on top of that. Like, that was always going to inflate those numbers. And it was always going to make it sort of easier for SC to rebuild, but also make the prospect of trying to predict what SC's rebuild is like a little more treacherous because it's been so massive of a scale of it. So, yeah, I don't know. Next question from Josh. With it being obvious that USC plans to spread the ball around and through the air, do you think teams dropping 8 will allow Travis Dye to feast on yards this season?
This is what I'm most excited about, because my biggest frustration about USC's run game was always that teams were not loading the box and USC was not punishing them by running. And I think I have more faith in Lincoln Riley to punish teams when they show him that look. Does that mean that USC is going to be, an ultimate running team? Not necessarily, but I know that Oklahoma ran the ball effectively when they needed to and took advantage of what opposing defenses were doing. So that is what I'm looking forward to. I think that Travis Dye and Austin Jones and maybe Relique Brown, if he gets into that mix, will have a fun time with it.
Yeah, Oklahoma's going to run the football, 100%. They were a running team, dare I say run first, pass spread. Like, that's what they are. That sounds weird, but that's what it is. We've talked about it for years, that if SC was going to run a spread, they should run it, or everyone's running a spread. Don't want to overuse the word spread there, but, like, if they were going to do something that had air raid sort of concepts in the passing game, do it akin to what OU is doing, because they were able to run the ball so effectively. They were the number one rushing team in the SP Plus numbers for like 2-3 years, right?
Oklahoma
under Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley took over in 2017 or 2016.
He was
the OC.
He was the OC in 2015. I believe he was the head coach the first time in 17.
Yeah, in 2015, Oklahoma averaged 222 yards per game. 2016, 236 yards per game. 2017, 217 yards per game, leading the Big 12. 247 in 18, leading the Big 12. 240 in 19, leading the Big 12. They did take a step back in 2020 and 2021 in terms of rushing offense, but Riley wants to run. He chooses to run.
Those were the 2 years in which they didn't have a quarterback that ran the system at a high level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the Radler years.
Radler and then this past year with Caleb Williams and Radler.
Yeah, because Williams only played for half the season. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. You look at it before that, and when they had Baker Mayfield, and then they had Kyler Murray, and then they had Alabama transfer that beat SC and
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. Jalen Hurts. Like, those are the years that Oklahoma's running at optimum speed under Lincoln Riley. And yeah, 2019 averaged 240 yards per game on the ground. 240 on the ground. 2018 averaged 247 yards on the ground. That's like what SC was doing at the heyday of the Pete Carroll era, but better.
Yeah.
Even more efficient, which is crazy. And while throwing the ball at that high rate too. So, yeah, absolutely. Final two questions here before we wrap this thing up. Scott says we might need an F1 podcast. Have you guys been to Monaco? Went for the first time this year. Fine on Scott from Lake Arrowhead. No, we have not been to Monaco. Absolutely on the list. We absolutely have considered doing an F1 podcast. The reason that we haven't, we don't know how we'd do it in the fall. Between F1 and this, like, it is brutal. Too many things happening at once.
That's my biggest, like, sadness in life, is that going to the F1 events that I would like to go to doesn't seem like a very realistic option for us at this moment. But yes, I would love to go to Monaco. I'd love to go to any F1 race at this point.
Vegas next year.
I would love to go to Vegas. We've talked about it, but it's also logistically going to be...
If it's Thanksgiving week, it would be.
It's going to be a problem. So, I mean, if we can make it happen, we can make it happen. But
yeah.
Yeah.
100%. We got a couple more questions here to get to, actually, before we wrap this up. Tim says, we know the Clay Helton pain points, third and long defense, red zone scoring, etc. Any guess what the recurring first-year growing pains issues could be this year?
Caleb Williams not running the zone read super well was a complaint. I think
it could be protection off the edge.
I think getting beat over the top, like or big plays, I think will still be an issue on defense, just because of the nature of Alex Grinch's defense. I hope to God red zone scoring isn't an issue, because why hire Lincoln Riley if you're going to screw up in the red zone? So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I would think it's probably going to be something defense related for sure. Next one comes from KCat. You said no home games this year. Are you planning to do any away games with Rot meetups? I haven't thought about it, but that's a good idea. The only thing is, yeah, we just have to probably bail early so we can get back to go live with the CarCast.
Yeah, again, it's just logistically, that's the biggest issue is, I'm working college football Saturdays. It's not always logistically possible for me to go to a game. And also, we just got married, just went on a honeymoon, I may be out of vacation days. So, yeah.
Yeah. Gerardo says, is there anything to fear many fans have? We could lose our quarterback of the future to Texas A&M.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's always a possibility. Texas A&M has a really big NIL arm, and they are very persuasive, clearly based on the recruiting class. If Malachi Nelson doesn't want to play for Lincoln Riley, then that's on him, as far as I'm concerned.
And I don't think that's the issue. I mean, he committed to Oklahoma, right? And then flipped to SC when Lincoln Riley joined.
Yeah.
I don't think Lincoln Riley is going to be the issue there. So no. I think if you're SC, Lincoln Riley has absolutely showed that he can recruit quarterbacks, and he showed that he can develop quarterbacks. So there's no need to worry. Have faith in the process, I would say.
Yeah.
Because even if it's not Malachi Nelson, it'll be somebody else.
Lincoln Riley has always gotten a quarterback. That much is clear.
Yeah. And if there's anything, and even if that's the case and that it's not, another five-star, there's no coach in college football history that has brought in quarterback transfers as good as
with
Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
So there will always be an answer for Lincoln Riley at quarterback. I have to believe. All right. Last question comes from John Sachs, who says, how's married life?
It's good. We're hanging out, living life. We got a dog, which was my big, after we get married, we're getting a dog thing.
Yep.
So that we followed through on that.
I wish we could bring Jessie out here.
I know. One of these days we'll get her well trained enough to like sit quietly in the background while we like. I was just thinking like, because I took her to the park this morning and she's super, super tired. And while I was working, she was just sort of curled up and sleeping. And I was like, we need to like get her to a point where we can just have her curl up right behind and you guys can just look at her cuteness. I don't know if we've mentioned Jessie is a border collie. She's beautiful. She's got these bright sort of white blue eyes. She's beautiful. I love her.
She is the best. And yeah, married life is awesome. The best part about it, it feels like everything before did.
Yeah. Like, yeah. The best part is it doesn't feel that different because
it feels the same.
We had a good relationship before getting married. We have a good relationship now. Not much has changed we were already living together and everything.
It's
so.
More like, yeah, we are married, huh?
Yeah, we are married, huh? I have gotten used to saying my husband, which is exciting.
I still have weird to me to say my wife. No, I don't have an issue. It's just like, I have to like force myself.
Yeah.
It sounds weird.
Have you gotten over the ring yet? Because I know that
I didn't wear
rings before you proposed. And then, so I had to put the engagement ring on and it was like the weirdest thing for a long time. And now I don't even notice it.
For the first month and a half, I was fidgeting with it. Like,
it's weird at first. And now it's just like,
it's all good now.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Cool. Well, we will be back next week. Thanks for the questions as always. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us for those of you who are here on YouTube. And if you're on YouTube, this is a reminder, like the stream and be sure to subscribe to us. Meet us back here next week. We'll be back Tuesday night, special night, Tuesday night, 5 p.m. Pacific for next week's episode. And if you're listening on the regular podcast channels, we'll be there as always, just per usual. So until then, we'll see you. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.